And now, from the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, from the Cowichan Valley to the Thompson Valley and across 20 cities in this fair province. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we're on location at the Vancouver National Wine Festival. Our guest is Warren Porter, president of Iron Gate Auctions. This is your first festival.
First festival.
This
Vancouver.
Is my 44th. You got 43.
I've got a lot of catch
you
up to
catch
do.
Up. Yeah. which leads me to my first question. Who are the sellers? Because there's some people with a lot of wine sitting around.
There's a lot of people with a lot of wine
sitting around. Who comes to you with wine that wants to get it in an auction?
You know, it's a catalyst. It's usually a catalyst in their life. Something happened. A good example is I've sold a house in Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put my wine possibly into storage for a bit. But when you don't have it with you, there's a visceral, you know, something to holding your bottles and having those memories.
Yep.
So after a couple of years, they say, you know what, it's time to thin it out, and you know, I'll put a few into my condo, and that's it. That's one.
Yeah.
You've got the obvious ones of estates, of course, and sometimes divorce, and a lot of times the two other big reasons are I'm going to sell it all because for health reasons I'm not drinking anymore. That's probably the largest.
Yeah.
And the other one is a changing palate. So when I started buying wine,
I totally agree.
Bought California cabs, and I don't like those giant wines anymore. I drink Burgundy. I mean, we're all going to wind up in Burgundy.
Yeah.
So you know, they said, and their spouse doesn't like the idea of them buying more wine.
Yeah.
So sell those. Seller hates a vacuum. Take those empty holes and fill them full of Bergs.
Yeah. Maybe Barolo too.
Barolo too, 100%. Yeah.
Old Nebbiolo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And what about the buyers? Now, I'm wondering, you know, they're talking about young people who are not drinking wine. Who's buying, who's collecting wine at this point? What's the profile?
You know, it's almost everything, but there's a lot of young people who are starting to get into collecting wine.
Yeah.
Again, it's also a changing palate. So people who are, you know, in their 50s, who are
looking for the Burgundy they never bought.
Well, and to that point, when somebody moves into a home, they have a giant cellar, and they don't want an empty cellar. Cellar hates a vacuum, so they don't want to have empty holes.
Yeah.
So they come in and start to fill it up. But you can't just fill it up with wines from a retail store because they're all young and new.
Yeah.
So they buy a bunch of the ones that they're going to buy from the retail store to lay down, or ones that they want fresh and new.
Yeah.
And then from us, they buy the older Bordeaux and Burgundies that they can drink now and enjoy as aged wines.
Well, when I was young, the older rich guys were buying wine by the case.
Yeah.
I could afford two or three bottles. So I thought three was kind of enough.
Very extravagant.
But what do you think about how much of a single wine someone should buy when they're collecting?
Well, I think if they know the wine, you buy a case and then you start to drink it. It depends also on the age. So there's a lot of factors. If you're going to, you know, don't buy a case necessarily of 82 unless you're prepared to consume it in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But for younger people, I would say experiment in different regions. Experiment in different areas of the world. Find the ones that you like. Buy those ones first in smaller quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out that you really like the Super Tuscans, for example, now start buying case lots that you can drink over time. So you're seeing how they're aging and how you like to drink your Super Tuscans. Young, 20 years, 40 years, that kind of thing.
Mm. And so what's the plan for 2023? I know there's an auction in June, but what's coming up throughout the year? Will there be three or four more, or how does it roll out at Iron Gate?
So we're likely going to announce another big one in July, but I haven't talked to all my staff about that yet, so they're going to kill me when I go back to Toronto and tell them we just had a major collection come in. So can we keep this? This isn't being broadcast, is it?
No.
So anyway.
Just to the world.
Yeah, well, okay. Anyway. So never mind. Scratch that. Do we have an editor? And the but we've got big one coming up in June, about 1.3 million. We've got a another one again, possibly July.
Yeah.
One in September. We've got another one, or September, October. Another one coming up in November. There's a lot this year. There's a lot of wine out there, which we'll likely do close to 10 million this year. So that's putting a lot of wine on the market. It's a buyer's market, Dan.
Yeah. And if I want to get some wine into an auction, how much lead time do you need from me to make it all happen?
It's a great question because it depends on what you have. Typically, it's about 2 months. But if you come to me with a case of 2000 Latour and I've got a case of 2000 Latour in an auction, I don't want to influence the price of yours and the other consigner.
Right.
So I'm going to hold it.
Right.
That's very different from an auction house because other auction houses,
they just throw them
they
in.
Just take everything and just throw it all in at one time.
Yeah.
Irina curates them. We want to, you know, maximize the return for our customers and not have a, you know, a giant amount of the same thing in every auction.
Yeah. Okay, and so people go to irongateauctions.com and they sign up. What, they put their credit card in, or
they
how does
credit
that...
card in so that I know you're legitimate, and they charge a dollar.
And then they're good to go.
They're good to go, and they just go on and they bid. You know, as I say, they should bid the maximum amount that they're willing to pay for that wine.
Right.
Let the software do the work for them. There's a gamification to it, too. A lot of people like sitting there and bidding. Yeah. And
like in the last 5 minutes.
It's crazy. Oh, in the last, I think 40% of the bidding happens in the last few hours.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it gets a little nuts at the very end, for sure.
But I bet 320, he goes 340, so then you put me up to 350 or something,
the
or whatever.
The,
yeah, the computer.
You know, you
does
said
it.
You're willing to go to 400.
Yeah.
It will just bid in increments up to your max. Once it hits the max, it'll send you a note and say, hey, Anthony, you want to keep going, or you want to, you know, you want to stop this?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Warren, enjoy Vancouver.
Thanks.
Enjoy the wine festival.
Looking forward to the wine festival.
Maybe you'll find some collectible wines out in the room. Who knows?
We'll find some young wines. I've only got old stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
As Warren Porter, president of Iron Gate Auctions, and we're coming to you from the 44th Vancouver National Wine Festival. Up next, we're joined by Veronica Sardin. She's the trade and marketing manager for the United States and Canada for Trapiche Wines. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is BC Food and Wine Radio.
There's more still to come from our Iron Gate Auction stage here at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Find your most coveted wines at irongate.wine.
Penticton, a perfect place to connect with nature. Plan your May-long trip and attend the various events of the Meadowlark Nature Festival, May 19th through to the 22nd, at locations throughout the South Okanagan. The Meadowlark Nature Festival connects people with nature, engaging and inspiring them to protect the unique habitats and species of this region, and indeed our planet. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Say cheers to spring. Lighten up your wine list at Save On Foods. More than 1,300 BC VQA wines, the world's largest selection in one place. So many to discover, it's like visiting 175 wineries all at once. And right now, pick up any four bottles and save 10% off your purchase. After all, your at-home wine menu could use a spring cleaning too. Discover fresh wines and tastings at Save On Foods, with 22 wine stores across the province. Find yours at saveonfoods.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs, Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tin Horn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Miradoro Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tin Horn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Penticton, a perfect place for a romantic getaway this spring. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate wine tasting for two and sample some Okanagan vintages. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. It's the ideal destination for a spring getaway with that someone special. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
From the Save On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from the Vancouver International Wine Festival, here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Today we're on location at the Vancouver National Wine Festival, year 44. We're just outside of the on-site liquor store where you can actually buy festival wines and have them shipped to the store nearest your home. Couldn't be a better deal. And joining us now is Veronica Sardin. She's the trade and marketing manager for USA and Canada for Trapiche, a very famous Argentine winery. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Anthony. Thank
Great
you
to have
coming.
You here.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to be here with
oh,
you.
Oh, man, I wish I had your job all day long. Yeah. Let's talk about Trapiche. Where is it? Give us some of the background.
Okay, Trapiche is located in Argentina, in Mendoza. In Maipú. Maipú is a small area that we call the first zone because there was where the Argentine wine growing took its first step. Yeah. So the winery is located there. But we also have vineyards in different parts of the province.
Sure, sure. So, and so that, of course, people, you have vineyards at different elevations and at different latitudes. Mm-hmm. You make different wines.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Yes, actually, we say that Trapiche is like an explorer winery because it's always looking for new challenges. Yeah. For example, one of the vineyards that we have now are located in Chapadmalal near Mar del Plata. This is the province of Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And those are the first wines with oceanic influence, actually. So it was a pioneer on having vineyards in that part of the country, yes.
Because you're really on the slopes of the Andes in
exactly.
Mendoza, which is a completely different ballgame, like a high desert.
Mm-hmm, totally, yes.
Although I hear it rained a lot this year. It was completely different.
Yes.
It was dry in Chile and wet in Argentina.
Not the usual.
Climate chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Well, you brought a couple of wines today. We're going to start with a Trapiche wine that's, I don't know how well known this wine is in the marketplace.
Okay, well, this is new.
Yeah.
Its name is Tesoro, means treasure. We say that it's the treasure of our high altitude vineyards because this wine is coming from Uco Valley, the highest vineyards in Mendoza. We recently launched this wine globally. Mm-hmm. We export in Trapiche to more than 80 countries around the world. So, yes, this wine was developed to launch globally. It's now in Canada, in some provinces of Canada, but the idea is to have it in every province.
Yeah. It means treasure.
Treasure, exactly, yes.
And the Uco Valley, like from Mendoza City, how many kilometers south is that?
It's 1 hour driving.
Yeah.
Yes, not that far. We have in Uco Valley three different areas. We have Tupungato, Tunuyán, and San Carlo.
Yeah.
This is specifically from Tunuyán. The name of the place is La Consulta, the specific vineyard.
It's a very famous place for Malbec, La Consulta.
Yes, exactly. It's more than 4,000 feet above sea level, so it's very high.
Well, we know that it's Malbec, but maybe you could say a little bit about Malbec because this variety was, you know, I guess it came from Bordeaux a long, long time ago, but it's almost defunct in Bordeaux.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Malbec is a bigger wine in British Columbia grown in BC than it is in Bordeaux at the moment.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Today.
What about your Malbec? What would you say about it?
Well, I think we have different kind of Malbecs.
Yeah.
And it's something very interesting because we have some lines, for example, in Trapiche, that we have three different Malbecs at the same price and same quality, but from different areas in the same place. For example, in Uco Valley.
Yeah.
And the idea is to show to the consumer how different Malbecs are with the exactly same winemaking process. So each specific place in the area has like its personality.
Gets to tell its story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we try to do with this wine, the winemaker team, Sergio Cassé, that he has been in the winery for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
The idea is to, this wine has been aged in oak barrels, first and second use. But the idea is to try to keep that main characteristics of the Malbec, not making so oak, so consumer can feel that freshness
the grapes,
exactly, the red fruit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you do when you taste it. There's an interesting character in the wine. I mean, it's a dry wine, which is nice. There's a certain kind of like a licorice character to this Malbec too. It's floral but has licorice in it, so it's complex.
Yes, you can feel that black pepper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, in the back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Do you like tasting wine yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you learned a lot? You're so young. You have you know, you have the right palate. You have the right age for really tasting.
Thank you. Yes. Well, in Argentina, we try when we fly like abroad here, for example, we try the opportunity to try wines from all over the world and get more knowledge, of course. Mm-hmm.
Now, Trapiche is involved in a group of wineries. They're involved in other wineries, and you brought a very interesting wine from a very famous place, Patagonia.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Yeah. Can you tell people where Patagonia is if they don't know?
Well, Patagonia is the southernmost winemaking region in Argentina. Grupo Peñaflor, this is the name of the group, recently in 2021 bought a winery in Neuquén. That is one province of...
In Neuquén,
Neuquén, exactly. Yeah. And we developed this wine that the name is Cosquil. The name is coming from the aborigines that used to live in that place.
Right.
So this is the name that they used to call the wind.
Aha.
The wind for them was like a kind of god.
Yeah.
Because it was like the one that protected the vineyards with its dryness.
Yep.
And
it's always windy in Patagonia.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And it's what we try to communicate on the label, too. If you see the label, it has like the wing with the vineyards.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it's very classic. Cosquil, like K-O-S-K-I-L, folks. This is a Pinot Noir, which is probably the name grape from Patagonia at the moment. Everybody's trying to grow Pinot down there.
Yes.
Yeah. Completely different than Malbec.
Totally different, yes. It's very elegant wine.
Yeah.
You're trying, you will feel that floral notes.
Yeah, less tannin.
Mm-hmm.
Almost see-through. It's a lovely color. It's a beautiful Pinot color.
Yes.
And it has, well, it's a bit of the barrel, I guess. There's a toasted character in the back.
Toasted and some vanilla there.
Yeah.
It's coming from the aging in oak. 10 months in American and French oak barrels. That is what gives that toasty notes to the wine.
Mm. Very pretty wine. Yeah, I love the texture in that. Argentina has a wonderful mix of food, too, if we talked about that, like sort of the Italian, Spanish heritage, everything coming together. What would you have with Pinot Noir in Argentina, say, versus what you might have with Malbec?
Well, with the Malbec, I would go for grilled meats.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, asado, if you have the opportunity to...
asado,
an Argentinian asado, that would be great. Also, with some pastas, you can accompany.
Yeah.
Then, Cosquil is very good for some cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
Some pastas with mushroom sauces. It goes very well.
Yeah, that sounds good. Our guest is Veronica Sardin. She's the trade and marketing manager for North America, basically, for Trapiche. And we're talking about today the Tesoro Malbec, the 2021. And we're also tasting a new wine, Cosquil Pinot Noir from Patagonia, which is with the group as well. People are getting more and more ready to travel. And I think a lot of people are deciding to go to Argentina. What is it like to visit, say, Trapiche? Is it organized for people to come and visit?
Yes, totally. Yes, we have a huge restaurant and the winery. People can visit the winery and they can also have lunch or dinner at the restaurant.
Yeah.
We also have some animals there. It's a really good place.
Yeah.
You can see the animals. The food is very well.
Yeah.
And while you can visit the winery, you can meet the winemaker team there, Sergio and all his team.
Do you need like a reservation or you just go online, at least let them know you're coming? Or is that the best way to do it? Or
you can do the reservation online, yes.
Yeah.
1 or 2 days before, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Veronica, great to meet you today and taste these wines. Are you going to enjoy Vancouver for a few days?
Yes, I'm already enjoying.
Yeah.
Lovely place.
Yeah.
Lovely city. I like
you,
it.
You brought the dry weather, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're very happy.
I hope that it stays.
Thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you.
It was lovely.
For the opportunity.
Veronica Sardin, she's the trade and marketing manager for USA and Canada for Trapiche. Up next is Francisco Foundes Pumarino. He's the export manager for Viña San Pedro. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you're listening to BC Food and Wine Radio.
There's more still to come from our Iron Gate Auction stage here at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Find your most coveted wines at irongate.wine.
There's a million reasons to visit the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie State Winery. Kick things off with a modestly fabulous wine experience on our tasting room terrace, now open for wine season. Tired of all that sommelier talk? Kick back and take in the breathtaking view with an ice-cold refreshment. If you listen carefully, you might even hear the bell tower in the distance. Visit the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie State Winery today.
There's something exciting brewing in Langley. From farmers markets to classic car shows and music festivals, there's always something fun going on, including one particularly spirited event. The inaugural Langley Craft Beverage Week, featuring 12 amazing events hosted by a mix of Langley-based breweries, cideries, and distilleries, takes place May 12th to 21st. The celebration includes the 6th annual Brewhalla Fort Langley Beer and Music Festival on May 20th, featuring craft beverages, live music, food trucks, and more. Plus, participating local brewers have collaborated on a Langley Loop collab beer that will officially launch during the Langley Craft Beverage Week. The limited edition 2023 Brewhalla beer will be poured at all Craft Beverage Week events. A portion of the proceeds from the Langley Loop collab beer will be donated to Watersheds BC, ensuring we keep our waters fresh and clean for many more delicious craft brews to come. Find details on tourism-langley.ca.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Penticton, a perfect place for a family road trip this spring. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries or craft breweries. Enjoy the quieter time of year and bring the family. It's the ideal destination for a spring getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on family vacation packages, family-friendly activities and attractions, and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
From the Savon Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from the Vancouver International Wine Festival, here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Coming now, follow my lead. Coming now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again today, on location actually at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Our next guest comes from Chile, Francisco Foundes. He's an export manager in Canada for Viña San Pedro. Welcome to the show, Francisco.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure and an honor, as I told you before. So yeah. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'm honored that you're honored, but you know, you can relax. We're just normal people here.
No, I'm really...
Just wine.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to catch up with you. Enjoying Vancouver? Have you been in the city, had a chance to get out or see anything?
Yeah, not too much, but I'm willing to, yeah. There is a lot of days ahead, so, and I'm seeing that the weather is very nice, so
This is as warm as it's been all year, so that's kind of great.
Yeah. Really?
Okay, well, let's talk about, like, San Pedro's, of course, is a famous winery, but also part of a group. So
exactly.
What is all in the group, and what are we going to do today here?
We have, like, different brands in Viña San Pedro, like 1865, like our fine wines. But also part of the group, we have other wineries. Mm-hmm. One of them is Leida. The other one, for example, is Tarapacá.
Yeah.
So, and now we are going to focus and speak a lot about Leida.
Yeah.
That is our coastal vineyard.
Yeah. Very coastal.
Yeah. Very coastal. Yeah. Here we are like between like 4 to 12 kilometers near to the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. So all the influence of the ocean, you can feel it, and it's translated in our wine.
And it's not Hawaii there. It's a very different Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, it's very cold. Very cold Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Sometimes in the summer, for example, it's amazing that in Santiago, now that we are like going from summer to autumn, like in the summer, could be in Santiago 30 degrees, like very sunny, and you go to Leida in the morning, and it's foggy and a lot of wind. So
yeah, and it's really like Vancouver, 8 degrees or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good for Sauvignon Blanc, though.
Excellent.
Good for
Excellent
Pinot Noir.
For Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir.
Yeah. So Leida has a nice history. Maybe we'll start with that. Where's the winery? I mean, we know it's close to the coast.
It's located like in this valley, and the origin of it is that in the spirit of discover like new terroirs and new places to develop like great wines, you know, we discover like and start to work in what is now Leida. Before was like Aconcagua Costa.
Yeah.
And because we saw this high potential for especially Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir,
yeah,
we start to work also with the government, the Chilean government. So at the end, it got through the years its own recognition as a valley.
Yeah.
And we are, of course, the pioneers of the valley. That is why Leyda is the winery, but also like the valley.
Yeah, which is a rare circumstance in wine
exactly.
to have that.
Exactly.
But always a good
usually
thing if you're first.
Usually it goes like the other round, yeah.
Usually they're blocking that name, but you can use the name because you're ahead of the valley.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are wonderful wines for food because they have cool climate, high acid. So how would we what is this Sauvignon all about? What are you doing there?
Well, this one is amazing for me by itself, you know?
Yeah.
Because it has like a great complexity that is due to this like high acidity,
yeah,
and also all the expression that we want to do, not only by the terroir, the excellent terroir that we have here,
mm-hmm,
that is also located in the soils of the what we call the coastal range mountain,
yeah,
so very old soils that, yeah, give a lot of like complexity and could be by itself, but also like here, for example, I'm thinking in Vancouver with a great salmon. Oh my god.
Well, all the shellfish that we have. Well, the same
exactly
with you. I mean, you have a lot of seafood down there on the coast, and it makes sense to me that we always find that the food, the local food, and
exactly
the local grapes, they go together.
Exactly.
So
for me, it happens that sometimes we usually use reference of Chilean cuisine, like for example ceviche or mm-hmm other plates that are related to seafood. But here, like being that you have also like a great cuisine related to fish and seafood is like amazing pairing for that.
It's a very very descriptive wine, like on the nose, that's
exactly
a very intense. How would you describe that? I think I know how I would do. How would you do it?
Like, it's a great, like, very truth also to the variety. For example, sometimes you have like the freshness and the citric notes, but here we don't hide the green notes, the herbal notes that are,
yeah,
in the DNA of the Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And that makes it like a wonderful, complex Sauvignon Blanc for me.
It smells like Cloudy Bay.
Yeah, I think that
they probably wouldn't be happy to hear that, but
it's
a really interesting wine.
Fantastic
for me, Sauvignon.
It's great to hear that because I think that is where we are looking for, like to have this all like authenticity of the valley. And that is due, like, the excellent terroir that we have and also, like, our team, you know?
Yeah.
Viviana Navarrete, that is the chief winemaker, and also with Tomás, the viticulturist.
Mm-hmm.
Viviana was, for example, named winemaker of the year by,
yeah,
Tim Atkin in 2020, but also Tomás, the viticulturist of the year,
yeah,
in 2022. So our golden duo makes an,
yeah,
excellent job with a philosophy of minimal intervention there.
Yeah.
So at the end, well, circular, like,
Viviane, she's been there for a while. I mean, she was a,
exactly,
pioneer of the whole,
exactly,
region. I remember meeting her years ago, and when we were surprised to find Sauvignon there at that time, she was,
exactly,
leading the charge.
Like, at some time, the people, like, especially because Casablanca was, like, so trendy at that moment, like,
yeah,
people didn't thought and was, like, difficult to,
yeah,
develop viticulture in Leyda because the supply of water was, like, an issue that we,
yeah,
needed to work, bringing the water from the Maipo River. But at some point, we got it there. Like, we have,
yeah,
like,
you built a pumping station there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that when that happened.
So when we say that we are the pioneers, it's not just like any story. Like, we really,
yeah,
developed this valley that we see all the potential of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I was a freak about where the wines came from. And in those days, when people said to me, well, this place is in the Aconcagua Valley. And I thought, well, it's not really in the Aconcagua Valley.
Yeah.
But in the old sort of way, it was described as that. And then it was Costa, and then it was Leyda. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic wine. And available in BC. I know that there's about three different labels here now from Leyda,
yeah, exactly,
that people can enjoy.
Like, we start with the Reserva label.
Yeah.
You know, that in that line, what we look for is, like, to have, like, these fresh and fruity,
mm-hmm,
like, wines,
mm-hmm,
you know? Then here we have to a level above with, mm-hmm, more complexity,
yep,
showing not only, like, all the notes that are typical from the terroir and,
yep,
the valley, but,
yep,
also, like, from the variety. And then we finish with what I would call lots, different lots,
yep,
that is specific lots and polygons that makes the best of,
yeah,
the best
single blocks,
exactly,
I would say for Canadians to understand. Yeah. Well, before you go, I want to talk a little bit about the Tarapacá, because that wine was available. That brand was in BC a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's in the group. Yeah.
Exactly. And here we are going, instead of Lleida in the coast,
yeah,
going to the inside of the valley,
yep,
you know, in Maipo Valley.
Yeah.
So, and what is amazing here in Tarapacá, apart from being like a very global brand, you know, in more than 80 markets and a big whole tradition, next year is going to be 150 years. Also, we are like sustainable. Winemaking is part of our DNA also.
Yeah.
So you could say here that we have like a natural close, you know, instead of being like walls like in France, you have like natural walls.
Yeah.
That are like all the hills that you have around.
Yeah, around,
and
yeah,
the only part that is not surrounded by hills is by the Maipo River.
Yeah. Aha.
So then you have like a biodiversity that is very specific of the place.
To the Maipo, yeah.
Yeah, and what is what we're doing to promote and preserve, you know?
Famous place for red wine, so that's
exactly.
Always a good start. This is the Tarapacá Gran Reserva.
Organic wine.
It's organic, yeah.
So, it is a blend that we have that... Of course, the main components you will have and taste like the Cabernet Sauvignon and also like our Chilean touch, for example, with the Carmenere.
Yep.
And then the other proportions may like vary between vintages, you know, but in this case, like, for example, with a little bit touch of Syrah.
Yeah. Francisco, thanks so much.
No, thank you.
Great to have you on the show.
Really a pleasure.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see you down in Chile sometime soon.
Yeah, please. Let us know, and we will have you happily there.
That was Francisco Foundes. He's the manager in Canada for Viña San Pedro and many of the other group's wines as well. Up next, Richard De Silva joins us from the Okanagan Valley. We're going to talk a bit about farming across the Okanagan. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more still to come from our Iron Gate Auction stage here at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Find your most coveted wines at irongate.wine.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Farm and Winery. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberfarm.com. Simply great wines.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in Cowichan, and our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, I love the look of Chimanis. It's such a picturesque village nestled between the mountains and oceans. Tell us about what a day might look like in Chimanis.
I love it too, Anthony. Chimanis is a coastal town that has everything from artisan restaurants to a craft brewery, beaches, parks, trendy boutiques, and antique shops, to a variety of different events and festivals hosted throughout the year.
So it's great to visit in any season. What are some of the other highlights when you visit Chimanis?
Well, Chimanis is famous for its large collection of outdoor murals that depict the town's unique history. There are over 63 murals and various sculptures which can be seen on a self-guided walking tour. Just look for the painted footsteps on the sidewalk, which will lead you right to them.
I love that. It sounds like Chimanis has an incredible arts and culture scene.
Definitely. During the summer months, Chimanis hosts concerts in the park, a weekly Wednesday market where you can buy handmade local products, and also not to miss is the famous Chimanis Theatre, which offers some of the finest live professional theatre in Canada.
Okay. You also mentioned earlier that Chimanis has its very own craft brewery. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, Chimanis is home to an award-winning brewery, Riot Brewing. This is a super fun space to unwind and enjoy craft beer made right in town. During the summer, you can hang out on the huge outdoor patio. And they also host a variety of events, including live music, trivia, and comedy nights.
I also see you can bring your own food or order from local restaurants that will deliver to your table at no extra charge. Chimanis seems like a community worth visiting. Kenzie, thanks so much for taking us on the tour.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Make your own plan to visit at tourismcowichan.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table.
Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Welcome to The Loops. When you love something, you want to do it again and again. Here in Kamloops, you can do laps on your mountain bike or play another round of golf. And when you're ready, welcoming eateries will gladly bring out budget-friendly second helpings or refills. Later on, you can raise the roof for a melodic encore before tucking into a comfy bed, then waking up to discover something new to do all over again. That's what we mean by welcome to The Loops. Go to TourismKamloops.com to plan your next road trip to The Loops.
From the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, from the Cochin Valley to the Thompson Valley and all 20 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we're on location at the 44th Vancouver National Wine Festival. And our guest, he hasn't been to all 44, but he's been to this one, Richard De Silva. He's the proprietor of De Silva Vineyards. Richard, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Thank you for having me.
Having fun at the festival. It's kind of fun, eh?
Yes, absolutely. It's a great place to engage with everybody.
I was thinking of you drinking Portuguese varieties at the Brazilian winery booth today.
Yeah, so I've been out there doing some recon.
Yeah.
And some great producers from there doing some great stuff. The Brazil guys were a great discovery for me, and I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great for people to, well, I mean, you're in the business, but exchanging ideas. You just came back from Austria.
Yeah.
So you get out there.
No, I think obviously, I have my own winery, but I think it's always great for context to try and always continue to discover other regions, other wines, and understand where I fit in that whole picture.
Exactement. Okay, De Silva, let's set the stage for De Silva. And where are you? Tell our folks all about De Silva.
Yeah, we're a small little boutique winery located on the Naramata Bench, but it's really kind of the hub of our vineyard holdings. We farm vineyards, small little vineyards all the way from the U.S. border to just north of Penticton. And what we do is, what we specialize is small vineyard designated wines.
Mm-hmm. And your family's been around for a while. You're not a newcomer to the valley.
No, family's been farming. We're the first Portuguese farm owners in the Okanagan in 1955.
Wow.
Been farming there for nearly 70 years. And our background is growing. And to this day, we still grow grapes for other wineries in BC.
And you know terroir. We've had this discussion before, but growing fruit teaches you a lot about terroir.
Yeah, growing soft fruits and orcharding is definitely even more challenging in some ways than grapes.
Yeah.
It definitely set a great foundation for where we are today, and understanding the intricacies and the potentials and some of the challenges in some of these locations.
I want to get to the wines, but you also had a winery. It's a secret winery. Some people know it. Misconduct.
Yeah,
that was a fantastic idea. Can you explain why you opened Misconduct?
Misconduct was kind of ahead of its time for BC. The thing behind that was I was bringing the farm and the fruit. We had a friend of mine that had sales and agency.
Yeah.
And we had a friend of ours that had a facility to make the wine, and we were going to do this kind of clandestine wine project called Misconduct.
Yeah.
But the reality of farming in the Okanagan is challenging, and at the end of the day, it was just not a good fit for BC, but it did lie the foundation to where we are today, and really set the foundation for the wines that we have today. That experience from that, I took over the winemaking, and here we are today. So it was a great learning opportunity, hands-on garage, winemaking, and
Well, you brought a couple of wines today. Is there any way to describe the kind of wines that you're making, or the type of wines? Are what the focus might be, or you love making?
Yeah, I really
lots
think that,
of wines.
What we specialize in is really kind of identifying where these unique, where we believe, if you were given the ultimate ability to pick where in BC you should grow these grapes.
Yeah,
and what we focus on is vineyard designated wines and where we believe the appropriate areas are for these varieties.
Yeah.
And so today we have two wines from one from our Vinhedo wines, which is literally translates in Portuguese to vineyard.
Yep.
They're vineyard focused. And then their Legado, which is the culmination of that experience in our Legado. And Legado stands for legacy in Portuguese, and it's the pinnacle of what we do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll start with the Pinot.
Yes.
Pinot Noir has become pretty recognized in British Columbia, especially by region now.
Yeah, I think the, you know, for me, Pinot Noirs north of, you know, north of Oliver, OK Falls, Penticton and north, a little bit cooler, provides that kind of balance and what we're looking for in those kind of Burgundian wines. The Bordeaux grapes, you know, like our Cabs, Merlots, those kind of grapes, specifically Cab Sauvin, Cab Franc, Osoyoos, and even then, you know, east or west, Black Sage versus Golden Mile side, we find the Cab Francs do better there. It's a bit cooler.
Yeah.
And so that knowledge that our family has gleaned over decades really comes to play when we're starting to craft wines like the Legado Nobreza. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Well, I love the texture in this Pinot Noir. Very silky, Richard. Kind of like you.
I've been told that, apparently. the Pinot Noir for me, it's kind of, I've had, you know, those that don't understand BC Pinot and some of your guests, sort of like Monterey meets the old world. So that kind of that kind of thing. And what we are known for is wines that have this kind of, this elegance and finesse. The wine is really in balance. You won't find crunchy tannins. You won't find, you know, sharp acidity. What we find is just a finesse and an elegance. That's what I like in wine for food pairing. It's really kind of my driving.
Yeah.
And so the wine should be seamless.
Yeah.
And yet these wines have proven now, as we have a breadth of wines, to last test of time.
Yeah. I mean, and if there's anything the old world's taught us is that that food pairing is, you know, important. I mean, what you're making and what's grown locally, putting it together, all that is, you know, important.
I mean, I always tell clients that, you know, for me, from being Portuguese, bringing up in Portuguese culture, we never had wine on its own.
Yeah.
Wine was always in the context of food. And so when we're pairing our wines and we're thinking about that, that's very foremost of my mind. But I'm also very conscious that in my winemaking and how we're growing these, that we're being very varietal, true.
Yeah, let's talk about Nobreza then. This is at the top of the heap. This is your baby.
What's
the vision?
The vision is to take the very best of the barrels that come from our Vinhedo wines. And so these literally come from these same vineyards. These are quite small. We're talking about 1-2 acre lots, 200-300 cases. Mm-hmm. And we take the absolute best of those barrels. In this case, it's 60% Merlot, 25% Cab Sauv, 15% Cab Franc, 4 barrels... 3 barrels and 2 barrels kind of thing. Like we're talking really small lot, 150 cases. It speaks for itself. I think the wine, the 19 was the very first vintage. It will never be done every vintage.
Right.
This is very, has to be of this caliber.
Which is great. We like that.
And I think for us, I think it's, I've been very, we've had this blind tasted with some amazing results against some very iconic.
Yeah.
Producers and the wine has shown extremely well. So I BC is there. I think as long as we all collectively focus on that, I think we're there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We need to believe in ourselves. Very quickly, we're almost out of time, but is the kitchen open? Can we dine? What's happening at Da Silva for?
Fantastic story, as you know, about the kitchen. They open on May 4th.
Okay.
We're one of the longest running winery chef collaborations in the province now, which is we're very proud of. And it's if you want to try these wines in the context of how they should be presented and consumed, that is the best place, at ground zero for it.
And as I recall, the menu says, if you're in a hurry, leave now.
Yes. Yeah, our chef
that's the best advice you can give a diner.
Yeah, the chef is very unapologetic about this, sort of like myself. And we have a great experience there. I think your guests will really, I think everybody who comes there just comes away, you know, blown away
Yeah.
Like with everything we do, it's very much below the radar. You have to come and discover us. We hope they come and visit.
So great. Lovely wines, Richard.
Thank you, sir.
Keep going.
I will. I intend to.
You intend to, yeah. I'm sure you do. And people, you can visit Da Silva. They're just at the entrance to the Naramata Bench, easy to find. The kitchen's a great place to stop by. Get yourself a Red Zone, have a tasting there. You will not be disappointed. Our guest has been Richard Da Silva. He's a co-proprietor at Da Silva Vineyards. We're coming to you from the 44th Vancouver International Wine Festival. Up next, Charlie Bisler joins us. He's an owner winemaker from Courcelette Estates on the other side of the mountains in the Similkameen Valley. Join us on BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we'll be right back.
There's more still to come from our Iron Gate Auction stage here at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Find your most coveted wines at irongate.wine.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated Conference and Event Center at Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro with extended hours beginning in June. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
There's something exciting brewing in Langley. From farmers markets to classic car shows and music festivals, there's always something fun going on, including one particularly spirited event. The inaugural Langley Craft Beverage Week, featuring 12 amazing events hosted by a mix of Langley-based breweries, cideries, and distilleries, takes place May 12th to 21st. The celebration includes the 6th annual Brewhalla Fort Langley Beer and Music Festival on May 20th, featuring craft beverages, live music, food trucks, and more. Plus, participating local brewers have collaborated on a Langley Loop collab beer that will officially launch during the Langley Craft Beverage Week. The limited edition 2023 Brewhalla beer will be poured at all Craft Beverage Week events. A portion of the proceeds from the Langley Loop collab beer will be donated to Watersheds BC, ensuring we keep our waters fresh and clean for many more delicious craft brews to come. Find details on tourism-langley.ca.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
From the Savon Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, from the Okanagan Valley to the Lillooet Uplands and all 20 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we are live from the floor of the International Wine Festival, year 44, which is dating us just a bit, but our guest is really young, so don't worry about it. Charlie Bisler is the owner, co-owner and winemaker at Courcelette Estate Winery. Charlie, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
You're in Vancouver, you're in the big tent, you're like with all the rest of the world. Does it energize you?
We're in the big city, you know, my wife and I coming in from Carameas, having a heck of a time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And you've been out in restaurants.
We've been trying to do it all in a very short amount of time, so they're big days.
You're away from the kids. Everything is
We're up late.
You're up late.
We're up late, up early.
I love it.
So we're having a great time.
Great to catch up with you. Okay, well, let's do a quick what, where, when. So sure. Core Celeste is in Similkameen. Well, where is it? Where are you?
That's correct. Yeah, we're just outside of Carameas, just off Highway 3, south of Penticton, and a little bit northwest of Soyuz.
Yeah, sort of wedged in between these massive mountains. That are
that's correct.
Seem to be shedding rocks daily.
It's a beautiful, very dramatic region, and it's a very exciting time to be in the Similkameen. Yeah. Certainly,
and you're like a pioneer, really, in some ways. Everything you've done everything by hand with your hands, and really built something special.
Thank you. Yeah, we continue to do so. You know, I've been growing grapes in Similkameen for 16, 17 years, and been making wine there for 12 years for ourselves, and you know, 13, 14 years for. A couple others, and we're really kind of catching our stride, and the Similkameen just keeps proving to be such a wonderful canvas to work with.
Well, last time I was there, we were up the side of a hill. You had planted a new vineyard. How is that doing?
That's correct. That is a pretty gnarly project, so we're year two of that, so it's they're still baby or infant non-fruit producing.
Yeah.
But we continue to separate soil from rock and put vines in the ground. You bet.
We hear a lot about it was a tough winter, particularly in the Okanagan. What happened in the Similkameen? What can you tell us?
Well, certainly it's not an ideal start. I mean, the winter cold did provide us some concern in terms of potential fruit load for the year coming.
Yeah.
But our vines seem to be healthy, and that's kind of number one for us is to push forward. And it's a good year to maybe concentrate on vine health and certainly a solid attempt at grape growing and producing phenomenal fruit.
We love dinners in restaurants, but in the end, really wine is about farming, and that's most of the work is farming.
It is.
And that's unpredictable.
And it's a difficult one to control. Of all the things that we think we can control, certainly the weather isn't one of them.
Yeah.
And so we're at its mercy, you bet.
Okay. Well, you brought a couple of wines from 2020, which is a vintage a lot of people like.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with that. We've got the 2020 Merlot from Core Celeste. Tell us a little bit about this wine.
Yeah. So we've really, evolved to leaning on our Merlot program. This is a 2020, which was a hot year and a low crop year. So we're getting lots of concentration, really full, well-structured wine, certainly. This is from three different farms and a third of this of our own estate vineyards and a third of being really young vines. So three different clones providing great structure, complexities, and a fruit-forward nature. So we're very pleased with the 20 Merlot. It's a bit of a segue into the next wine that we'll try, which is Talus. But the point is, when we think about the Similkameen, we'd really want people to leave with the impression that, the Upper Banks region, the Stemwinder soils, those alluvial fans that are really identify the Similkameen are an important part of winemaking, and therefore Merlot, Syrah, Cabernets, doing a heck of a job.
I think people know but don't know, but you're on the upper bench. You're on the northern side, I guess. Can we say the northern?
Yeah, it's confused. Northern face.
And the river, the Similkameen River's down below. What people whiz by. It's such a great... I mean, you're probably in that river with your kids in the middle of the summer. Like, why
enjoy
not?
Enjoy the river. You bet.
Yeah. It's kind of foreign to us. We are always in the ocean, but the river looks very inviting to me. I love this wine. Of course, people always talk about Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, but I think Merlot is a misunderstood variety in BC. Like, we have a special spot for it in the same way that they do, say, in Bulgari, like at Masetto, these kind of places. There's a savory character to these wines, a desert sort of desert brush thing that really makes them interesting.
So for sure.
Keep going. This is a delicious wine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Talus is a relatively new wine.
Yeah, so prior to Talus being called Talus, we had, for 5, 6, 7 years made Meritage-inspired wines.
Yeah.
And so Talus for us represented 10 years of learning and really understanding these soils. And it's an ongoing process. There are things that we have changed a lot in the last 10 years. And so Talus was a 10-year anniversary of us really starting to become confident with the evolution of our vineyards and all that hard work and sweat paid in establishing those sites. And so Talus is a geological term itself, referencing these really steep alluvial fans. En français, un talus is literally a pile of rubble. And that's where these late ripening varietals will lie, is at the base of the Similkameen's bedrock.
That is a massive wine.
it's
expanding in the bottle for sure since the last time I've had it. This is beautiful power and spice at the back end and just a baby.
It is young, so, you know, we've had a lot of success and a lot of support. So we're pushing
a lot of people drinking it already, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, we're selling some youthful wines, but I think that since you've last referenced the wine to now and then to even another 6 months, this 2020 is going to continue to evolve and be really drinkable, and for another 10 years as well. So it's exciting. We love Talus. When people ask, like, how do you make it, what's going on? Well, you know, it's pretty simple in a sense that you take the best of everything your vineyards are, the best of your cellar programs, and you start to kind of play with those lots and to craft this wine.
It's, and don't do too much. Just
let it
be what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
wow, these are two delicious wines. Thanks for sharing those. Let's talk a little bit about the symbol on your label, because that's kind of interesting.
Well, I've probably talked a little bit just with you now about the evolution, you know, and this ongoing journey that my wife and I and the team that we've built at Corselet symbolizes. And that's what the spiral is this continual growth. Nothing is square in nature, and we're subject to those impacts. And, you know, we feel really connected to our team, to our valley, to our lands.
Yeah.
And that's what this spiral symbolizes. Mm-hmm. It's a very energetic and powerful symbol, and it means a lot to us, and it certainly represents the journey we're on and where we're going. Mm.
And the Similkameen itself, since you arrived, has really expanded. There's a lot of stuff going on there now. So we would encourage people to come to the Similkameen Valley to do all kinds of things, between riding between wineries, visiting wineries, eating, dining. Now there's a couple places to stay. You can even get coffee at 7 in the morning now if you're heading back to town.
That is correct. So with the wine culture and the wine experience is the general visitor experience, guest experience. And it's not certainly just us. It's all, the whole community is really welcoming. And there is a lot of amazing things to do. It is a day's worth of activity for sure.
Yeah. Corseletwine.ca. Now, are you open to drop-in, or is it all invitation? How is it working now?
We are 7 days a week, starting May 1st until starting May long weekend.
Yeah.
We're 5 days a week through May. We look forward until late October, where we start harvesting, and then we steal our wine shop team for that.
Yeah, of course. Charlie, always great to see you.
Thank you.
Really impressive, these 2020 wines from Corselet, the 2020 Merlot and the 2020 Talus. I don't even know. Do you have any left of this wine, or?
I
have to join the wine club to buy it, right?
Well, we wish you would. Really.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
No, we'll certainly, following this festival, the excitement will continue, but we do try to maintain this, you know, through our tasting room. So you gotta call us at the wine shop, and we'll see what's going on.
That was Charlie Bessler. He's the co-owner and winemaker of Corselet Estate Winery. And you know what? We are out of time, folks. That's it for today's show. Special thanks to our on-site producer, Mike Whittingham, our studio producer, Dwayne Bishop, Simon producer Sherry Caleb, and director of operations Stu Ferguson. Next week, we're on the road. We're in the South Okanagan with a live grape escape from Hester Creek. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and for all of us at the BC Food and Wine Radio Network, have a great weekend.
That's it for today's show. On location from the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Presented in part by Iron Gate Wine Auctions. Find your most coveted fine wines at irongate.wine.